Welcome to the Paranormal Pendle Podcast, coming to you from the heart of Pendle Witch Country in the northwest of England. My name is Craig Bryant, author, investigator and collector of stories. Join me as we take a journey into the paranormal, UFO sightings, cryptozoology and big cats. This is the Paranormal Pendle Podcast. So, hello and welcome to episode 51 of Paranormal Pendle, broadcasting to the Paranormal UK Radio Network at pauk.radio.com. So, welcome to my three guests on this particular podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to have the three guys from Northern Frights. We've got Chris, we've got Tom, and we've got Rachel. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. It's great that we've got you on. I've been having a look at your Facebook page, which has got some really quite interesting investigations that you've done recently, which I'd love to get on to talking about in a second. What I would like to start off with is how did you guys meet? Because you're not all that close geographically, are you?
No. So we've all got a mutual interest in the Haunted Hotel in Chester, haven't we?
Yeah. All sort of met through either being on the same investigations or on the overnight stays or the recent fan page, which has been up and running now. And there's a chat in there where we can all sort of chat and we sort of know each other now.
Okay. So were you on sort of separate investigations and you just sort of met and decided to form a group?
I made a group with two of my other mates, but they've not sort of been a part of it recently, just being busy and everything. Yeah. And then I put in the chat on the My Haunted Hotel fan book page, and Chris messaged saying he was interested. And then we met Rachel at another investigation, probably, what was it, Chirk Mill?
Chirk
Mill.
Yeah. So the Haunted Hotel, then, for those people that don't know too much about it, because it's becoming quite a sort of famous place for people to go and investigate, isn't it? Whereabouts is it based and what's the story behind it?
So it's Yeo King's Head in Chester. And Harry, the owner, for many years had an idea of cameras in every room, letting people star in their own paranormal investigations, and you know, they'd film it and release highlight reels. And I think that's the big attraction, is that it's accessible to everybody. And because everyone's so interested in joining in, this community kind of built, didn't it? So it's not just us three. There's many others that we've become friendly with. Like you mentioned, the girls at To Investigate, we met them through there as well, and others. So it's really nice. Everyone seems to get on, and some good guys. And yeah, we do enjoy investigating there. How many times do you reckon we've done it? I must have done it at least 10 times, something like that.
It's five now, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Rachel?
Been a few times, yeah.
How did you find it? I'm not picking on you now, but how did you find it?
Myself?
Hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, I know Danny pretty well anyway, because I've been part of his other team, the Haunted Hunts. So I've been there to visit a couple of times, and it's brilliant. It's a brilliant idea. And it's very, very popular. And obviously the USA one is getting popular as well.
Okay. So, all right. So there's one over in the States then, is there?
Do
you think it's going to end up translating?
I think it's going to end up pretty much worldwide, I think.
Yeah, sort of translating to a sort of TV type investigation series, because obviously that's the big thing, isn't it, at the minute? All these different TV series that are going on, with ghost investigations and such. So, I mean, you've obviously been to it a number of times. Tell me about your experiences then. What happened?
Who wants to go first?
Go on, Tom. You go for it, mate, because I know you had a good one.
Yeah, the first time I went. So obviously not everything happens every time you go, just with how the paranormal is. But the first time I went, it was mostly quiet, apart from maybe a knock on one of the doors. But it was also on command. So one of the other guests, he was saying, you know, you can knock, you can speak, you can make any noise you want. And almost on like cue, there was a knock on the door. So that was interesting. Other than that, on the first night, nothing really much happened. Even with the knock on the door, I was skeptical, you know, like, even if something is happening, I don't quite get it. And, you know, my brain just maybe doesn't register. But yeah, that happened. I think the second and third time I went, again, not much, apart from maybe a couple knocks. But the fourth time I went, it was a quiet night in the hotel. There was only like one other room booked. Sometimes, because it's quite busy, you can get a lot of noise pollution with other guests, obviously investigating as well.
Yeah.
But the fourth time, it was, there was only me and two other guests in that had booked this one room. So we pretty much had the full building to ourselves. And it was quiet for quite a chunk of the night. But then we were in this one room, room six, and it just went crazy for about 15, 20 minutes. Like, there was bangs all over the room. I managed to record a DVP in the center of the room. Yeah, and then as quick as it started, it sort of stopped. And then it was quiet again for the rest of the night, apart from another room where we were getting sort of knocks on command, sort of like intelligence, or can you knock twice if, you know, whatever, and then two little knocks straight after.
That's sort of weird. Answering back to what you were.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just ask you what DVP is, just for those people?
Oh, yeah, so it's a direct voice phenomena. So you get your EVPs, which are your electronic voice phenomena, which you might not hear at the time, but however it works is captured on sort of like, you know, your phone, video camera, something like that. But yeah, DVP is like in the room. You actually hear it with your own ears.
Okay. So what was that like then? What did it, can you remember what it said? Did it say anything?
No, it was more of a noise. It was kind of like a, ugh, like that. It was just in the middle of the room. It was really weird.
Yeah. No, well, I can imagine that will be quite a sort of strange thing to hear, really.
Yeah.
Did you manage to record it at all?
Yeah, I've got it on video, and then it was also included. I think it was on the My Haunted Hotel have like a subscription service as well. So I think they featured it in one of them episodes.
Yeah. Does anybody know what the history of this place is? Does anybody know why there's so much paranormal activity going on there?
I mean, Chester's quite a historical city. It's links right back to, you know, the English Civil War. I think that building is from 1622, isn't it? It's also near the river. And there's theories, isn't there, about moving water and energies and things like that. So, you know, who knows? Who knows why? But for whatever reason, it seems to be a hotspot for things going on.
Yeah, well, that sort of ancient history, it's not surprising, really. Rachel, what about you then? What happened when you went there?
Well, the few times that I've been there in the beginning, nothing much happened. It was very quiet. I mean, the odd devices going off, things like that. But I recently went in January on investigation there, and it was quite interesting. I had like three loud knocks in room six, and we also heard what sounded like sex noises in the cellar. Yeah, and they actually caught that on their camera as well as mine.
Right, so okay.
Quite interesting.
Do tell more.
You're letting me context.
Yeah. Well, to us, it sounded like a child at first, but reviewing back, it sounded a bit naughty.
Right, okay.
And then room seven, that's kicking up now as well. But when I went in there, I didn't hear anything physically. But on camera, as I was reviewing, I did hear some like wolf whistling.
All right, okay.
So that was quite weird, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with it being such an old building, I mean, I presume it's always been an inn of some sort.
Yeah,
you could certainly imagine going back a few hundred years, there would have been less than salubrious activities going on in a place like that. So, I mean, who knows? You know, there could well have been. You know, not to put too fine a point on it, working ladies, working girls.
It's well known there's an area known as the brothel.
Right. Well, yeah. There you go then. That obviously explains that, doesn't it? So, I mean, that's a phenomenon that I've not heard of before, actually. So that's quite interesting. Maybe I need to visit myself.
There you go for it.
Chris, what about yourself?
I was spoiled, actually. The first time I went there, they do nights at the weekend where you don't stay over, and there's an events company called Afterlife and Spooky Events. That was my first experience. And we were in room five, which is one of the more active rooms there. And from out in the corridor, we were hearing footsteps. We were seeing shadows move under the door. And each time those happened, two of us were darting up as quick as we could to get in that corridor to see if there's anybody there. Not a soul, not a single person around. In fact, that happened two or three times. And then after the third time, we said, right, we're going to camp in this corridor. We're going to go and sit in there and wait and see what happens. While we were there, we heard a massive scream in room five where we'd just come from. The people who'd stayed in there actually heard a baby crying.
All right.
Yeah. And that's not the first time that's been heard. It's been heard a few times in there. And there's also in room five a doll that inexplicably just throws itself off the shelf now and again.
Can't forget Grace, can we?
it did it twice for us that night as well. And this is all the first time, so you can imagine. I'm thinking, oh my God, this place is, you know, a hot spot.
Yeah.
And then I think the next three or four times I went there, nothing happened.
did you actually see the doll sort of levitating off the
shelf? So it's weird. It's caught on camera. It almost seems to twist itself on one of the times, rather than just falling forward, it seems to twist before it fell. And interestingly, when they moved it to another room, the haunted museum. So they've got a lot of haunted artifacts in there. And when they moved it in there, it's never fallen again, has it? It's like room five is known to have two child spirits that live in there. Is it Billy and Emma?
And the
theory goes that maybe one of them is tugging on it or something, you know, they recognize it or something. And when they moved it to another room, it never moved. So interesting.
Does anybody know the story behind those two children? Were they murdered there or something like that?
No, is it? No, we're not sure.
I always find ghosts of children a little bit sad, to be honest. And I've spoken to people who've had experiences themselves of you know, ghosts of children, and it always makes me feel a little bit sad that they're still there and still around, you know. And they find it difficult to move on.
I mean, you think that's sad. Who was it that caught in room five on a really sensitive microphone called a Zoom H4, they caught a child saying, "Mama."
Oh, right. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that pulled at the heartstrings.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, was that wasn't one of you guys, was it not?
No,
it was a different guest.
Different guest, right. Well, it sounds like a really interesting place. Like I say, I've spoken to a few other guests on the podcast recently who've been there. And had similar sort of experiences. And I think it's interesting that it's not the sort of place where, I mean, it's refreshing that you say that you've been a few times, and on most of the times you've been there, nothing's really happened. And I think that when that's the case, when something does happen, it makes it more credible.
Absolutely.
You know, rather than sort of going in and everything happening all at once as soon as you walk through the door. Because to me that just makes it a little bit less sort of believable. I had a look on your Facebook page. You've done quite a lot of investigations recently. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to mention a few that you've done. If there's any others that you want to throw in while we're at it, that's absolutely great. Stoke-on-Trent Museum, that was the first one that I looked at. You put a post on there. Rachel, you're smiling and nodding your head, so go on, I'll let you start with this one.
It's an amazing building. I really, really enjoyed my night. I thought it was going to be overhyped and things, but we got some good confirmation there. I don't want to say too much because the full episode hasn't been edited yet. So I just kind of done like a little teaser.
Yeah.
So I did the first session episode, and yeah, we had some very strange voices coming through on the spirit box. And it was like the same lady twice that came up. She started saying, "Let me go." And then she said, it won't let me go. Oh. So she's in like a panicky kind of way. We caught loads of different things.
That's interesting, isn't it? That would suggest then that she's being held.
Against her will, maybe.
By maybe another spirit.
Yeah.
Again, I've spoken to people who've investigated places where they've been very distinct spirits, and some of the spirits have been very scared of other spirits, and they've sort of said that they were scared of them. So I always find that quite interesting. What did you guys think of it then? Tom, what did you...
I wasn't actually at this one. I wasn't able to make it, so it was just Chris and Rachel.
Right. Go on then, Chris.
I was going to say, I don't want to say too much. Probably Rachel's probably thinking the same thing as me, but after reviewing the footage, Rach may have spotted something pretty big. Okay. But we like to make sure we do, you know, due our diligence research, and make sure we can't debunk it before we actually say it. But potentially there's something big there.
Okay.
We're just waiting for confirmation from the people who were there, who have kindly offered to check cameras and things for us. So, watch this space.
All right. Well, I won't push any more on that then. When do you expect the footage to be out on your YouTube channel? Have you any idea? Do you have a YouTube channel, sorry?
We do, yeah, we do. So it's the Northern Frights UK. We've got a bit of a backlog, haven't we? I think Tom's working on one for the hotel. I'm working on one at the moment for both Delamere and the Screaming House that we've been to recently. So soon.
can you talk about that, or do you want to tell me about some that are already on there?
This is Tom's baby, so I'll let Tom take it away.
Okay.
So I've got one that I'm currently editing, which was an afterlife event at my haunted hotel. It happened a good while ago now. I've just not got round to sort of editing, been a bit busy and with life and stuff. But yeah, I've got, hopefully I'm gonna try and get it finished this weekend, and then we'll have another one for maybe Sunday or the week after.
Okay. So can you tell me about any of your investigations then that are already sort of up there that you can talk about a bit more?
The first one I think we put on was Chirk Mill. Chris sort of organised that one, which was, I don't know too much of the history about that building, to be honest, but it was an interesting building. We had a few bits go on and stuff. But it's a building in Wrexham, is that right, Chris?
Yeah, near Wrexham, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's the first one where we all sort of met up together, me, Chris and Rachel, and then formed a team sort of from there.
So it's a mill. What sort of mill is it?
Can you remember what mill it was, Chris?
Do you know what? I think it was like a corn mill or something like that, or a flour mill, something along those lines. But it goes back so far. The lady that owns it, Tracy, she's still trying to find history on it because it goes back so far. She's got photos. She's got local books that talk about the place being a mill. A few stories, but there's still big holes in the history to that place. So she's still, you know, digging and finding out what she can. The site used to have houses on there as well. You know, some of the photos or the drawings they've got of the place show just how big and how important part of the community it was at one time. I don't think it's been a working mill for quite some time. So it's now a showroom for, I think they do beds and bedspreads, that sort of thing. But there's some wonderful historical antiques in there. And she's doing an interesting project. So basically she's taking old antiques and putting electronics in them. So your ghost hunting equipment, like your REM pods, your motion sensors, that sort of thing, she's putting them into actual antiques. So they become part of the building. You know, they don't stand out of place. Mm. So they're fully functional, but they look great. You know, they look really impressive.
So what sort of equipment do you use then as a group?
I'd say we prefer a more scientific approach, just so that you can back it up. I am fully open-minded to things like mediums. However, you've only got one person speaking out loud and you have to trust that person to believe what they're saying. Similar with like Ouija boards. Again, I don't not believe in them, but again, it can easily be manipulated by someone at that table at that time. So we prefer things like spirit boxes. We've had some great results with those. REM pods, you know, if something activates a REM pod, it's pretty concrete, or you can believe it. Your EMF detectors, that sort of thing. Those sort of things you can catch on camera. You can back it up. You can correlate it and say we've had two or three pieces of evidence there. And it's more a scientific approach, and you can back it up and show to other people rather than, oh, I got this feeling. And again, I'm fully open-minded to it. You know, Rach is quite sensitive, aren't you, Rach? But we'd still try and back it up with something, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, actually, if any of you are more sensitive to things than others. I mean, how does that sort of manifest itself to you, Rachel, when you go into a place?
The feelings and being sensitive. I don't try to use psychic abilities on investigations because it kind of takes away that experience. So I don't tend to have that kind of feelings as much as I used to. But I do tend to hear a lot more than kind of say, oh, I'm picking up on a male energy, things like that. Like in at the museum, I thought I heard a whisper, but nobody else heard it. And it was actually captured. You know, things like that. So I'm quite sensitive to hearing what's around me.
And I was right next to Rachel. I didn't hear it. Yeah. But Rachel heard it. And when we played, you know, the recordings back, yeah, it's there.
So it's backed up that I did hear something, but nobody else heard it. So, yeah. So I tend to not try to go to investigations and say, oh, I'm picking up on a male energy, because it kind of spoils it for everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So unless I can back it up. Like someone could say, oh, actually, there is a male spirit called Robert here. You know, it's different. But I like to keep a low key because some people don't believe in it. So,
no, that's very true. I mean, do you sort of get those feelings?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's natural for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's got that natural ability to sense and feel things within the room. I mean, it's energy at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just a case of whether you can tune into that energy, isn't it? It's some people, I think, are more able to do that than others. So do you often get sort of audible phenomena? Do you hear a lot of stuff that other people don't?
In the past, I have, yes. I've heard whispers, growls.
Growls?
Yeah, I've heard a growl, yeah. But I actually had two guests that heard it at the same time as well. So,
are they very close? Are they sort of animal growls or?
No, it was like a man grunting, I'm not going to even try and impress it.
No. All right, don't worry. I think we know what you mean.
Yeah.
We're going back to the haunted pub again, aren't we?
But yeah, everyone's got that sensitive abilities, I think.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it's just being able to tune into stuff, isn't it? Okay, so again, any other investigations that really made an impression on you then? Which are the ones that you can talk about and that you really sort of remember as being, you know, particularly good ones?
I think me and Tom went to 30 East Drive, didn't we?
All right, okay. Yeah. Tell us about that then.
We talk about, like, you know, being sensitive and things like that. I'd never class myself as sensitive. But when Tom and I first walked in that building,
weird house.
What did it feel like, Tom?
Just felt dead heavy. Yeah. And then when we went into one of the rooms upstairs, so the first bedroom that you might sort of are facing once you get to the top of the stairs, for some reason, every time I went into that room, I just felt sort of, I don't know, like really a heavy atmosphere. And I got like sort of tinglings down like my arms and my back, like almost every time that I went into that room. It was weird.
It was a strange building, because I'm not one to get freaked out, I'm not one to panic and things like that, but that building that I came close to being actually scared. Do you know what I mean? There was just a feeling about the place.
I had to sleep in the living room on
stairs, wasn't it? You know, around those stairs, I was positive I was going to catch something on there. It was just a feeling. But yeah, that place, that really delivered, didn't it? And we can talk about that one, because the episode's out there. And we did get things happening. We did hear little voices, bangs, that sort of thing, a lot on the spirit box that night through SDS methods and that. But actually, the best captures came when we were reviewing the footage later. And we got some electronic voice phenomena through the video camera, full-on voices. Oh, yeah. and like breaths as well, like a breathing on the camera when the camera's on the side watching one of us, so we're not anywhere near it. You can just hear a and yeah, I'd say go and check out the video, because there is an area called the smoking room, I think it's called these days. Tom and I are in there. We hear a noise from behind us. We go to check it out. And as we kind of almost, we don't move that far away, but you just hear a girl's voice. Check it out. It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
What did the voice say?
Can't really tell, can we? I don't know. It sounds like in a different language. It's weird.
Okay. It sounded like savage, didn't it? It sounded like savage.
Yeah, something like that.
Something, yeah. It was weird. It was weird. But it sounds so female that I can't understand who else it would be, because there's no, everybody else was upstairs. Me and Tom were on our own.
I said it sounds quite electronic as well, which is weird, but there was definitely nothing playing at the time. It was dead silent. It was weird.
There's nothing there.
So did you stay there all night?
Yes, we did. We left Tom on your own, didn't we?
I was in the living room sleeping on my own, and it was so weird. I woke up maybe like four or five times. There was one point where it felt like something woke me up by sitting on the sofa. But I was half asleep. I could have, you know. But yeah, I just remember waking up scared sort of like four or five times throughout the night.
I think,
and then it was morning.
Probably pretty well to actually get any sleep at all.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably just be sat up all night, to be honest with you. I mean, what's the history of that place? I mean, there's obviously a lot of poltergeist activity goes on, isn't there, as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's actually a film about it. Have you ever seen When the Lights Went Out?
Mm.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's been dramatised for Hollywood, hasn't it? Really over the top, but some of the fundamental stories of the place are there. So a family, I think it was in the 60s or 70s, moved in and experienced some quite violent poltergeist activity. I think was a girl dragged up the stairs or something by what is believed to be, do they call it the Dark Monk?
Black Monk of Pontefract, the Black Monk. They call it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's actually photos of this monk that had been caught on the stairs. And there's an area in that smoking room where some of the photos that guests have caught are on the wall. And honestly, to see them, some of them are mind-blowing. Really, really impressive, but horrible at the same time. And I don't know, people say it's dormant these days, but what we experience there, if that's it when it's dormant, I would love to see it on an active night. I really would.
Is it a private... Sorry, go on. Sorry, Tom.
Like I say, we were there actually with Twin to investigate for the night, and they've got a clip on the video where they hear something in the kitchen, and on that same camera that we mentioned that we were... No, it was a different one. It was like a static camera that was just recording all night, or when motion was detected, and they're screaming because they hear something in the kitchen, like, get the camera. And then at this light, almost straight after, like a voice mimics something that goes like, give me the camera or something like that. It's dead weird.
Oh yeah. And is that the same time as well where another camera that we set up in the living room, doesn't it catch like a slight shadow moving past the door or something through the glass?
Shadow in the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a great place. I'd love to go back there sometime.
Is it a privately owned house?
I believe it's now owned by...
So, yeah.
Is it the director of the film that bought it? I think he did, didn't he?
Oh,
and now he kind of gets...
Maybe if you can...
He gets the next door neighbour to rent it out for him, doesn't he? She comes and lets you in. Yeah. So it's just hired out to teams, but I think it's booked up months in advance because it's that popular.
Yeah. And it's still sort of furnished, isn't it? Is it sort of like 70s, 60s, 70s, 70s sort of furnishing? So it's obviously as it was when the family just left. I mean, did the family just pack up and leave? Was it that bad? Apparently,
I think so. I think they got to the point. I think at first they were adamant that they wanted to remain there. They weren't going to be shoved out of their own house.
Yeah,
but it got to the point where that much was going on for their own safety. They just had to get out. And I think, I believe, when the next family moved in, it was nowhere near as bad, was it?
It has shades of the Enfield Poltergeist to it, doesn't it?
Really does. Really does. And both cases have like a young girl involved, don't they?
I was going to ask about that, yeah, because they reckon that that's a lot of poltergeist activity is attached to adolescent children, don't they? Particularly adolescent females, although there have been occasions where they've been attached to adolescent boys as well. I mean, I know that there's a very similar one in Accrington, the town of Accrington, where it was a council house which was in the 70s and the 80s was very similar. Family moved in and there was an awful lot of poltergeist activity. Made the local news, made the local TV news, local papers and everything else, and eventually the family moved out. And I don't think anybody's ever moved in there since. And it is just still owned by the council, and it is, well, it was empty for a long time. I think somebody might actually be in there now, but it was quite a sort of similar, again, very similar setup to both East Drive and the Enfield Poltergeist. It's quite odd in that respect. They tend to be the same sort of houses, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we investigated one recently, didn't we? That Rach, you did one on the murder house or the screaming house, didn't you, for the haunted homes? And we went to investigate there, and we got quite a bit of activity there, didn't we, as well?
Quite good there, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is that then? What's the story behind that one?
It's
in Pulford.
Yeah,
Pulford in Chester. So a young 17-year-old girl named Brenda Evans, she was walking home. She was walking to see her uncle, I think it was, after work. She worked in the post office. She must have been kidnapped and murdered because they tried to find her. And they found her in a manhole, basically strangled with her own tights. Mm. So yeah, that's the story behind it.
Mm. And what sort of manifestations happened there then?
Well, when I went there, we didn't get a lot, but it was a lot of spirit box kind of activity. So I heard like a lady or a young girl saying, "I'm here." Which was quite weird. And I don't know, we heard a couple of ruffles, but it's a really kind of rough bungalow. It's very derelict, so lots of animals could be in there, you know, like rats, mice, anything like that. So it's very, very hard to pinpoint little noises.
Yeah.
But Chris had quite a lot going on with his camera.
Well, there was the night I went with another, there was Tom was with us, and there was another couple of people with us as well. We were all in the living room and calling out spirit boxes on that sort of thing. And I'm in the door to the living room with my back to the bedrooms. And there was an almighty kind of loud scuffle from one of the bedrooms, I'd describe it as, like somebody moving in there. Of course, terrified us, but I was straight in there with the camera trying to, you know, see what it could be. I didn't find any definite cause. What there was, though, is one of the windows is smashed and there are plastic bags in there. So potentially it could have been wind blowing the bags. So like I said, we always try and debunk these things first. So it could have been. It didn't sound like that. It sounded like somebody moving in there. But you can't. It can't say for definite, can you? So I'd never go out and say, "Yeah, it's not worth saying it unless you can prove it for definite." But we got some sounds, didn't we, as well, Tom, on the cameras, like
on the Zoom mic as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Like, did you say Birmingham or something like that?
Something like that. It was dead weird. Like no one else were talking, or maybe they were. I can't remember if we've cleaned it up. But yeah, there was just like a really sort of out of place. Like man to say Birmingham or something, or I don't know, can't really tell what it says, but that was weird.
But we also got it when we went in one of the bedrooms, and it might have been near where Rachel got "I'm here." We got it as well when we were just about to walk into one of the bedrooms. I think you're filming on your camera. Neither of us heard a thing at the time, but there's quite clearly a voice there saying "I'm here," and we were calling out.
Yeah.
You know, things like that you just can't explain, can you?
No, that and that, what did you say, that was a girl's voice?
That was a female voice, that one. The Birmingham, I think, was a male voice, wasn't it?
Male voice, yeah.
I take it this place isn't anywhere near Birmingham.
No.
Well, it's strange, isn't it? Then? I mean, why would a spirit say Birmingham? It's quite odd, isn't it?
I think it's audio pareidolia. I think we're hearing that, but it's actually saying something else.
Yeah.
But we have been trying to guess. But yeah, because it sounded almost American as well. It was like Birmingham.
When I said it,
it was really weird.
Yeah. It was confusing.
Sorry to any American listeners I may have. I've got a few. My apologies for the crappy accent.
I thought he was very good, Rach.
Yeah, I thought too as well. But no, it was a very weird EVP that you caught there. But we will try and suss it out what he's saying.
Yeah, but I suppose the more you listen to it, the more your brain sort of makes things up, doesn't it? When you're trying to work out what it's saying, and so you're sort of filling bits in, aren't you? You subconsciously to make it sound like something that you recognise, which I suppose is why you think it's saying Birmingham, because it's probably something quite sort of close.
Yeah, yeah. What else could it be? Girl in ham.
Burning Man.
Burning Man. Yeah.
I'm sure I did a good guess of what it said, but I honestly can't remember now. I'll have to have a look.
You'll have to have a look back through the footage. Yeah. I mean, what's the scariest place you've ever been to? What's the one place that really sort of freaked you out, or have you not been sort of affected to that extent? I mean, obviously East Drive sounds like it was pretty close to your scariest experience.
One of the times where we got the really active night in my haunted hotel, I've been most of the other times with like a friend or one of my siblings, but that one time I went on my own and obviously slept in a room on my own. I managed to sleep all right, to be fair, but getting to sleep was a bit a bit nerve-wracking, but
sounds like you could sleep through most things, Tom, to be honest, by the places you've fallen asleep in.
It's weird though, because when I sleep anyway, I always just dream about the place that I'm at. So at the haunted hotel, I dream that I'm at the hotel, or like East Drive, I dreamt that I was at East Drive again. It's weird. I don't know what that is.
What about yourself, Chris? What's the scariest place you've been to?
I would say on the whole, 30 East Drive is the scariest place. However, one of the, I would say scariest, but also most exciting moments I've had is Chirk Mill. The first time I went there, and I went in the day before we did our actual proper investigation at the night time, I went there with just a bit of equipment, talking to Tracy there, and she left me on my own in the actual mill building. And I had his H4 Zoom mic that picks up really low sound, so any kind of whispers or anything like that you hear. And I'm just coming down the stairs, and I thought I heard a voice. So I stopped, turned. Then all of a sudden I heard a woman's voice going, "I'm ready." So I thought, what the heck was that? So I thought, Tracy's come back. Tracy hadn't come back. Tracy was in another building across the courtyard. She was nowhere near the building. So I thought maybe Sarah, who was meeting me there that night, maybe she'd gone there. Nope, Sarah wasn't there. I was on my own in that building and I heard a woman's voice. So that freaked me out a bit. But also, I don't know, the spidey senses got tingling. I was excited. I wanted to hear it again.
You're not trying to have a conversation with it.
I was, for the rest of that evening, I was trying to find it again. I was calling out all sorts and nothing. Where it came from and where it went, I have no idea. But I heard it as clear as day.
Yeah, so that was exciting and disconcerting at the same time.
It's one of those. It's what you go there for. Yeah. But when it actually happens and you're on your own, it's a little, the nerves get running, don't they? The adrenaline gets pumping. But yeah, I was excited.
Were you not a bit pissed off that there was nobody else there to witness it?
A little, but at the same time, it backs up that it couldn't have been anybody else talking, you know?
That's true. What about yourself, Rachel?
Well, I've been to so many places that are very, very eerie, but I'm not easily scared. But I'll say two places. Tattenhall Hall, when Race the Doll was there.
Okay.
That creeped the hell out of me, because I've never seen an item that's supposedly haunted before.
Right,
and the thing that was coming out of that thing, oh, it was absolutely scary. It was pretty terrifying, to be honest.
Say Grace the Doll.
Grace the Doll. She's actually at the hotel now. Danny has moved her into room 8.
Right. Is this the one that comes off the shelf?
No, it's a different one.
No, this is a different one. She's actually cased in a box with a cross and chains.
Okay, so what's the story? So I've not heard about this. So what's the story behind that and what happened?
I think they bought the doll. I think it's just like an ordinary doll that they used as a trigger object in Nanclwyd y Dre. And that's where the attachment started with her, I believe, with a witch named Jeanette. So they've had like a 5 or 6 year project with the doll at Tattenhall Hall, I believe.
Right.
And yeah, she is something. A lot of voices have come from that doll. And there's another doll called Willow. We also heard her singing at Tattenhall. And I was actually in the room when it happened. And we were like, who's singing? And we thought it was one of the guests messing about. And we were all just like looking at each other like, what? What's happened? And I said to Danny, I was like, it came from that doll, Willow. And he's like, well, she's been dormant for like ages. Like nothing ever happens with her. I said, well, tonight it has. And I think it happened a couple more times after also. So she's also at the hotel on display at the bar area, I believe.
They caught her moving as well, didn't they? She moved in a
cage. Yeah. Well, they caught Grace moving as well.
Actually on film or?
Yeah.
On camera, yeah.
All right. Is that footage available anywhere?
Yes, yeah. I believe it's been shown worldwide. There's a clip of it being on Spanish news, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, they got a YouTube channel, and like Tom said before, they got a new VHX channel as well. So yeah, that's one of the most terrifying items and experiences that I had there.
You said obviously you can sort of feel stuff when you're in places, even though you might not necessarily tell people that you're feeling stuff. Did you get any bad feelings from these dolls?
I wouldn't say bad feelings, but kind of like with Jeanette, I feel like, I don't know, with her, I feel like she's been betrayed a little bit to be evil when she may not be that evil.
Okay.
But there's meant to be like 3 other entities with the doll also. Oh. So I don't know whether it's them 3 that are being quite dominant towards her, maybe. But that's just my opinion, really. That's how I feel. And I have spoken to other people, and they've also thought the same about Jeanette also, you know, that she's probably misunderstood. But that's what the whole project's about. We need to find out more about her. So, yeah, interesting.
So there's sort of multiple spirits attached to her, you think? Yeah.
There is, yeah. It's been proven that there's 3 entities with her, with Grace the Doll. Yeah.
And do we know why they've attached themselves to that object in particular?
I don't think so, no. I think this is why Danny's got this project still ongoing, so we can find out. But you know, they're not performing monkeys at the end of the day, are they? So
no, absolutely, you know, no. But I think any sort of inanimate object that has the ability to behave in that way, I find particularly scary, to be honest.
Words that come out of that thing, it's really horrible.
Okay. Can you give an example?
I think Danny was threatened to have his eyes burned out at one point.
Yeah,
right.
Threatened to be killed, things like that.
This is the witch, is it, that's attached itself to...
There is a witch, but there's also 3 other entities.
All right, okay, sorry. Yeah, got you.
But Jeanette has been quite vocal at times. she will say things. I mean, I can't remember exactly what she has said in the past.
Right.
But she's there are other
Danny
entities.
Out, she? She's called yeah. Danny out and said something like Moss. Moss. I know you're yeah. here, Moss, or something along those lines. Yeah.
I don't think she gets on with him. But I don't think he gets on with her either.
Yeah.
It's also made the sound of like a goat bleating as well, hasn't it?
That's and it, yeah.
A child screaming and yeah. just making other weird noises. They had it happen on Halloween. It was like this, when no one was in the building, 4 o'clock in the morning, whenever it was, just a blood-curdling scream come from that room. And then you could hear it saying, like, I'm sorry or something. It was
yeah,
strange.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I didn't even fully believe in like haunted dolls, but it's weird.
Yeah, that's quite disturbing, really, isn't it? That it's it's pretty unpleasant. Yeah, no. Dolls, I think in particular, I think a lot of people have got phobias, haven't they, about dolls, and clowns. But we won't go into that. When I was having a quick look on your Facebook page, I noticed that you'd been to what was dubbed UK's most haunted. Castle.
Oh, that was Dudley Castle. So I also volunteer for afterlife and spooky events, and I was invited to go and host at Dudley Castle. So I got myself there early and just did a little mini episode wandering the grounds. And what was brilliant was we had one of the guides, one of the ladies that works there, knows the place well, and she gave us the full history and a full tour of the grounds. That place is incredible. I mean, I went on a wet and windy February night, so I didn't get the full effect, you know what I mean? It was horrible, the weather was awful, but still the bits I saw left me wanting more. We had little bits of activity, things like K2 meters going off on their own on demand, actually. In the episode as well, you'll hear we actually caught a whistle from nowhere, when actually we've been asking for someone to make a sound or make a whistle. But the whole place kind of gives just a vibe. There's been a lot of it was around during the English Civil War.
Right.
There was a blaze, I think it was in 1750, where there was some people caught up in there. Jacob, I think his name is, supposedly haunts the place. But what was interesting was the lady that was showing me around was giving me the tales of a little girl that she'd seen a couple of times. A little girl just running around that she just catches now and again. It's crazy. And also there's a like a cafe there and a pub that's named the Grey Lady. That's the most famous spirit around the place, and it's actually been caught not long ago on camera.
Right.
But again, there's various accounts of this Grey Lady wandering the grounds. The story goes that she wasn't granted what she asked for on her deathbed. So she asked for her husband to be there and to be buried with her husband or something, and it didn't happen. So she's believed to wander the grounds looking for him. So it's a wonderful place, and I need to go back. A lot of history there, a lot of stories about the place. I don't think I got the full effect that night because of the weather, and I'd love to do it again.
But whereabouts is it, Dudley Castle?
So actually, it's on the top of a hill near the zoo. So in the middle of Dudley itself, there's the zoo that's on the side of a hill. And Dudley Castle's right at the top. And actually, you can still walk up one of the towers. You go to the top, and actually the view from the top over the city is amazing.
Is it sort of Norman then in age or...?
I think it goes way back. I think originally it was a wooden fort. So yeah, there's been something there for an awful long time. Yeah, so the Norman times, yeah.
Yeah, so it was probably like probably built on the hills, probably a motor bailey or something like that.
Yeah. And another thing that's interesting about the site is it's made of limestone, and there's a belief in the paranormal community that limestone can hold energies. Whether it's true or not, it's an interesting theory.
Yeah, I've heard similar, and I've got certain theories about the area where I live and Pendle Hill, and why Pendle Hill is so active. Not only in historical terms, obviously with the Pendle Witches, but a lot of UFO activity around here as well. So, and that's actually limestone and sandstone. So that's quite interesting you mentioned that.
It's certainly on the bucket list. It's somewhere I want to go to very soon.
Pendle Hill. Yeah, well, by all means, let me know when you're here and I'll take you on a guided tour.
Oh, fantastic. I might take you up on that.
Don't mind at all. No, it's interesting you mentioned about geology is something that we could go off at a tangent and talk about. I think there's a lot of links between paranormal activity and the geology of where a place is, not only the history of what's gone on there, but also where it is in you know, terms of, like you said, water is a very very important factor as well, I think, a lot of times. So you tend to find a lot of places near water, don't you, that are particularly active. So well, it's been amazing talking to you guys. You've obviously had some really really interesting adventures, shall we say. Have you got anything in the pipeline that you're particularly looking forward to? I mean, obviously you won't be able to tell much about it, but any places you're going to in the near future?
I'll let you pronounce that whole right. Go on.
Oh God, I can't even remember what it's called.
How did I know it was going to be Welsh?
I thought I'd let the Welsh again, person Chris? Pronounce it.
Welsh listeners.
No, I want to say Llanidol Hall.
Llanidol Hall, that's it. Yeah,
it's in Welshpool. We'll call it Welshpool Hall.
Right. Okay.
So we've got that private hired. So that'll be nice. It's just the three of us going there. Got a new CCTV system all ready to go that we can take there. So hopefully we catch some good stuff there.
Excellent. So what's your you got a Facebook page, haven't you, as well as your YouTube channel?
Yep.
So we've got Facebook, the Northern Frights UK, Frights with a Z. It's the same on YouTube. And then we also have a TikTok as well, which is tnf.uk. Okay. You can find us on there.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, it's been brilliant talking to you guys. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been really, really entertaining. And good luck with your future investigations, and you'll have to come back on again sometime in the near future with when you can tell me more about your the stuff that you've get on with that backlog, Tom, and we need to talk about all your investigations that are all backed up. I know what it's like when you're doing video editing and trying to get stuff uploaded. It's hard work, it really is. But it's been great talking to all three of you. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
No problem at all. Take care and good luck with your investigations.
Thanks, Craig. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You can visit my website at www.craigbryant.co.uk. Paranormal Pendle will return, and remember to keep watching the shadows.